Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your host, Kathy L. McKenzie. Joining you today. Thank you for joining us for Blog Talk Radio today. We just appreciate you being able to listen to us. And if you're going to listen later on, we just thank God for you that you're awesome, you're great, you are somebody in Christ, you are victorious because the victorious one lives on the inside of you. And so therefore, you have the victory even now. Whether it looks like it or smell like it, you have the victory because the victorious one is the one that has saved you and called you and delivered you and set you free, which is Jesus Christ. So, again, thank you for being with us on Blog Talk Radio today. Today is Kingdom Women Living for the King. And we pray that even if we have men that have joined us on the Blog Talk here, we just pray that you are encouraged. You are empowered. You are strengthened with the Word of God. The Word of God will grace you to see yourself as God sees you, that you will be kingdom-minded in your home. You will be kingdom-minded in your church. You'll be kingdom-minded on your job. You'll be kingdom-minded if you're in school. You'll be kingdom-minded in society. If you go to the grocery store, you'll be kingdom-minded. If you go to the bank, you'll be kingdom-minded. Wherever you go in society, that God would grace you and you would get the encouragement, the Word of God, to empower you that you can be kingdom-minded, that we can affect change wherever we go because the greater one lives on the inside of us. Amen. Today is Kingdom Women Living for the King, and I have on the line with me on the radio, Dr. McKenzie. He's joining me today. And so I'm just excited that Dr. McKenzie is with us today on the Kingdom Women Living for the King. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick announcement, and then we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us. By way of announcement, we want you to join us for our watch night service. If you don't have a church that you are fellowshipping with and you all don't have service on December the 31st, at 10 p.m., you can come and join Panorama Christian Center at Embassy Suites Hotel, the airport location. The address is 3974 South River Drive, Miami, Florida. And the parking fee is $5. This flyer says access granted. So God has already given us access. He's already granted access to us. This is our due season, our set time. So we are encountering the supernatural because God is a supernatural God. And so we believe that as we speak and decree and declare the Word of God and walk out in the Word of God and do the Word and apply the Word, then we will encounter the supernatural. So again, that's our Watch Night service, December the 31st. That's a Monday night at 10 p.m. Embassy Suites Hotel. Also, usually we do our prayer and fasting at the end of the month, but the Lord dealt with us, and so we're going to be doing our prayer on next Monday, which is December the 17th, also the 18th and 19th, Monday through Wednesday at 5:30 a.m. We have a new phone number and we have a new code. If you did not get it already, you can jot this down. The new phone number is 712-432-3900. That's 712-432-3900. And the code is 287-381-POUND. Again, that's 287-381-POUND. And that's next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 5:30 a.m. All right. Well, let's get ready to hear what the Lord has to say to us. I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. McKenzie greet everyone at this time.
Greetings, everyone. It's good being with you today. I know this is unusual for me to be on this broadcast dealing strictly with women, but I received an invitation and I accepted the invitation to be with you today, and I believe that the Lord is going to use Kathy and myself as an instrument to be a blessing. So as we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to download in us to be able to meet your needs. So I pray that your spirit is open to receive what the Lord had to say, and allow the Holy Spirit to help you to make the adjustments in your thinking, your heart, your mind, your disposition, so he can receive the maximum amount of glory out of your life. Once again, it is good being with you all today.
Amen. Yesterday we were sharing from Isaiah 53, from the book Isaiah 53, and we were sharing regarding verse 10, still is what God had in mind, and I'm sorry, we're reading this from the Message Bible. It says, still is what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he see life come from it, life, life, and more life, and God's plan will deeply prosper through him. The only way that one can experience life and then more life is when we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and he gave himself willingly. This was the plan of God for Jesus, the Son of God. And because this was the plan, Jesus willingly gave himself up for all of us, for humanity, that humanity can experience, can be redeemed and set free from sin. So life has come forth because Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. So even as Jesus was our example, or is our example, when we come to that place that we willingly give ourselves unto the Lord, and we can't do that unless we love God, unless we're looking at the bigger picture, unless I see that, you know, I love God, and I love him with all my heart, and so therefore I want to please him, and so my flesh will gonna fight me all the way, because my flesh don't want to die, and God allows us to go through situations for our flesh to die, but we have to make that choice that I choose to be more like Christ, and so therefore I have to give myself because I love God, and my love for God is greater than the situation that I'm going through, and so therefore I want to be able to be that the woman of God that God has called me to be, or be that person that God has called me to be. So showing that I love God, I obey God, and obeying God is to give myself. Give you an example. If, just say, Dr. McKenzie, you and I, we just say we are in a situation, we have a disagreement, and just say if you're bringing correction to me, now it may not feel good to my flesh, because there have been times when you have done that and it did not feel good to my flesh. And I haven't always handled it right, you know, in the past. But thank God for his grace and his mercy that, you know, you bring it to my attention. I repent unto the Lord, apologize to you. You've shown me the where I missed God, how I was out of alignment with God. And so if I love God, then I'm going to repent, apologize, get back in right relationship with God first, and then with you. So that would be an example, if I could use that, of me sacrificing me, my flesh, putting the flesh on the altar so the life of God can come forth out of me, and I can be that wife that God has called me to be. What is your mindset on that?
That's a good analogy that you just used. I want to add an element to the statement that you used in the areas of love and obedience. I think there's a missing ingredient there, I believe, that calls people not to be able to submit and yield, and that's trust. I believed out of one's love for God, which would be fellowship. See, the degree, there's different levels of love. I believe everybody in the body of Christ is not intimate with God. Everybody have a love for God. It's one thing to have a love for, and it's another thing to love. So there's different levels, and I believe that on a scale to 1 to 10, when a person gets saved, they move up the scale all the way to 10. So if they on the scale, on the level of number 1, the reason they love God on a scale on 1 degree is because they trust God only 1 degree. And the more you love him and he loves you, you experience his love, the more your guards is going to come down and the more you're going to deliver yourself in his hands. So to sacrifice oneself, see, we use a whole lot of terminology in the body of Christ. We say the right things, they're good things, but how do I do it? So
yes.
Going back to the analogy that you just used about offering yourself as a sacrifice to the Lord, all of our relationships with God, the level of it is going to be reflective in our relationships with our assigned relationship. If I really love God, so it's going to be revealed in my assignment to who he assigned me to. It's going to be revealed to you, to the girls, to Panorama, Doma, the pastoral line, my neighbors, or whoever. I don't live in the neighborhood that I live in just because God placed me here. You don't live in a neighborhood where God have you there. So therefore, my relationship with the visible is going to really reveal what kind of relationship I have with the invisible God. I can say I love him until he tests me. I can say I love him until he try me. I can say I love him. It's going to be revealed in my response to the thing that he is allowing to take place.
Yes.
One or two things are going to happen. My spirituality or my carnality is going to be brought out. It's going to be made manifest in the midst of the circumstance or situation. I can even, flesh is so manipulative and devious. I can even try to use the flesh. It would try to use a situation, call it spiritual, just to justify itself. It is devious. Yeah. It is manipulative. And that's why all of us need somebody in our life to kind of bounce things off of or to use as a mirror to expose us. So
yeah.
I agree. And a perfect example of that scenario that you use is Abraham's son Isaac, when God said, offer your son as a sacrifice to me. We see no struggle. But Isaac is the son. Abraham is the father. The son did not struggle with his daddy. And his daddy was 125 years old at the time. Isaac was 25. He was in his prime. He could have knocked his daddy over, beat him up, but we see no signs of a struggle. We see no signs of resistance. Abraham trusted God. Watch this here. And Isaac trusted God concerning his father.
Yes.
Both of them revealed their relationship with God. Abraham, willing to sacrifice his son by obeying God, that was revealing to God, Abraham loved me. Isaac's submission to his father was revealing that he loved God. He didn't struggle. If he struggled with Abraham, it would have revealed that he had a struggle with God. So both men were submitted to sacrificing and being sacrificed because the focus wasn't his daddy and the focus wasn't his son. The focus was God. Both of them revealed that they was men of God, men that belonged to God, and both of them played a role. Abraham played a role in sacrificing. Isaac played a role in being sacrificed. I trust you, Father. I trust you, God. And so this must become a reality in all of our relationships. So my role as a husband, your role as a wife, the only way that our relationship will progress in the midst of experiencing death is our relationship with God, our focus on God and not one another. That must become a reality because everything that is of God, and everybody hear me good, everything that is of God must experience death. And you don't experience death one time. You experience death multiple times, from the time you get saved to the time you die. Because death is designed to experience life on a level. Going back to the scale, 1 to 10, the individual loves God on one degree. So that means the individual trusts God on one degree. And God is going to deal with us where we're located. So
yes.
Then what God's going to do, he's going to test me one day after he's proven himself, after he's shown me his love, shown me his mercy, shown me restoration on level one. Then he's going to put me to the test for me to be willing to die on level one so I can be elevated in my love relationship with God to level two. You don't get to level two by fasting. You don't get to level two by praying. You don't get to level two by studying the Bible. You don't get to level two by going to church. All of those things is preparation. It prepares me that when it come, I'm ready. The fasting has prepared me. The praying has prepared me. My studying the Bible has prepared me. It has prepared me to yield. It has prepared me to submit. It has prepared me to surrender. That when God wants to kill a dimension of my flesh, of my soul life on that level, to take me to a deeper level of intimacy with him, I'm ready. Because all church has done, all my private devotion, it has prepared me. And I don't have to think about it. It's another thing everybody needs to understand. If you got to think about it and be looking for it, because it's never going to come when you think it's going to come. Never. That means you're not ready. Because you should be ready in your heart. I don't have to meditate on it. I don't have to think about it. When it comes, I will be ready. Because it's in your spirit. It's in your heart. And
yes.
Then when it comes, you submit to him. You yield to him. You go ahead and die. And you trust him. And what people need to understand is this also. Stop looking for a painless death. That ain't going to happen. And people are like, but it hurt. It's supposed to hurt.
Yes.
And, but we want to go through without pain. We want to go through without experiencing any pressure. That is not going to happen.
Yes.
That is not going to happen. All death is painful. And if you were looking at the scripture that you read, it talks about the travail of his soul. The pain that you and I feel when we're experiencing death is an internal pain. It's not a physical pain. It's an internal pain. That's your soul dying. Self, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, self-reliance, self-exaltation, self-importance, self-pity. All of that got to die. And that's what you're experiencing. So just like Jesus experienced the travail of his soul, your soul is experiencing death. But if you don't know how to handle it, then you'll end up getting a false interpretation of the pain. And you'll end up getting angry with God, become bitter with God, and bitter with the instrument that God is using to cause you to experience the death. And that's what used to happen. That's why there's so much division between husband and wife, because they get a fleshly and a carnal interpretation of what God is doing, because he's trying to produce something so great, so awesome in us. But we get a fleshly interpretation, and we get angry at God and bitter with God and bitter with the instrument. And we fall, and we fail, and we experience setbacks.
Yes. I think we brought this out one time before, but I was looking at that word travail when you mentioned it in verse 11 here. And when you think about the word travail, you think about a woman. The first thing I think about is a woman getting ready to, you know, have a baby. She has to go through the process of carrying a baby for 9 months. And then there's the travail to push or bring forth the baby that she's been housing and carrying for the last 9 months. And so, but it's not easy. It is a level of death there, because the woman has to be able to experience that process in order to give birth to the seed, to the baby that she's been carrying for the 9 months. And so when she gets ready to travail, it said, the scripture says here, out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it through what he experienced. So going back to the woman getting ready to give birth to the baby, someone made a statement one time that, you know, the pain is, she doesn't remember the pain after she sees the baby, for the joy of the baby, you know, she doesn't remember all that pain that she had to go through. You may not remember it, which I do remember for all three of our girls. It is worth it. It's worth it because you see what God has allowed you to give birth to. You see what you've been carrying for the last 9 months. You see the seed. You see what you saw once, you know, inside of you, but now it's on the outside of you. And so it's the joy of carrying that, carrying the baby. But the travail, I never really saw it in the light of the scripture until you brought it out on recently in the message, is payday. But the travail of the soul, my soul don't want to die. But in order for me to get to that next level, as you were speaking of earlier, I have to yield to the process of God. I have to yield to death in order to experience the life.
That's excellent what you just brought out, and the scripture come to my spirit as you was articulating that. What you just said, that I'm willing to die. It really, mothers really do experience a level and measure of death when they're giving birth because blood is shed. People don't really realize and understand that. But the blood has been shed when that baby is coming out. The scripture says greater love has no man than this, that he will lay his life down for his friend. And I believe that's why a lot of mothers is so, they're more motherly or they're more affectionate and clingy to their children. Not all mothers, but clingy to their children and more locked in and more moved by their children than fathers are because they carry them. They're such a bond that's taking place, and when that mother is giving birth, that mother really is laying her life down. She laid her life down for the coming forth of her child, and I think that's another reason why when children cut up, abandon, or do some assassinate the character of their family members, the mother, the father. That mother hurts so deeply. She hurts so bad because she probably didn't realize why, but she have laid her life down. She laid her life down for the salvation of that child. I won't use the word salvation, but for the birthing of the bringing forth of that child. I can even say salvation too, because if it wasn't for the mother, that baby would not be able to experience life because the mother is feeding that baby. That baby is receiving all nourishment and everything from that baby.
Yes. Amen. And that is so true. When you was mentioning earlier talking about Abraham and Isaac, how there has to be a level of trust. And if we struggle, if Isaac had struggled with Abraham, then that would have revealed, you know, that he really didn't trust Abraham. And going back to the husband and the wife, and just using you and I, if I struggle when you bring the correction to me, it reveals I do not trust you. I do not trust Christ in you. Going back to looking at the bigger picture and seeing Christ. So, and I think one time you and I conversating, we had a beautiful conversation, and you was helping me to see. And this, here again, I thank God for you helping me to always have the mindset of Christ and look at it from Christ's perspective, you know, taking me back to the Word and taking me back to my relationship with God. And so in that conversation, you was bringing out me looking at not you, the vessel, the instrument, but seeing Christ. And I think that's why, as wives and as women, period, you know, we struggle sometimes with when the correction comes from the husband because we don't see it as coming from Christ. We don't see that, you know, when the man is truly following God. So, and he's disciplining us, not disciplining, but bringing correction to us, because the Spirit of God has shown him, you know, you're off somewhere. You're out of alignment. That is not the word. And so I need to help you get back in alignment and in fellowship with God and your relationship with God by showing you the error of your ways. So when you show me the error of my ways, then I should be able to see Christ and not the instrument, not the vessel, but seeing Christ, seeing the bigger picture.
That must become a reality, and it's easily said, because I haven't met too many women that flow that way at all. Dr. Brown's wife, probably the only wife that I've been around, I'm sure there is other women, that I've been around on a personal level, seeing her flow in that role with Dr. Brown. Never seen her dishonor him. Never seen her disrespect him. She lived in a joy. It's like he was her joy when she woke up in the morning. That's the way she lived. She cooking food for the man. I never saw that. I'm tired. Never saw that. I'm tired. I'm weary. It was always done with pleasure. Always, honey this, honey that, baby this, but always in such a positive attitude and disposition. So she is the only person that I have been around. I'm sure there is dealing with their husband. And haven't been around all women dealing with their husband. I'm just saying she's the only one I've been around spending time with them and seeing her live in that particular dimension. We do have a question today by area code 786-370. So we're going to click them in and allow them to ask their questions. Am I doing this right here? There it is. Okay, caller, you have a question. 786-370, you have a question? Okay, well, maybe they clicked it by mistake. Okay, you can go ahead, Prophet Scott.
That has to become a reality for us as wives, as women, period. It has to become a reality. I think another problem that I've seen and I noticed within myself, I'm sure I'm not the only wife that has experienced this, we have to be able to see that all of us must die. Not just that I'm looking at you, that you have to die, but I have to die also, because I have to have the mind of Christ when it comes to being a biblical wife. I have to understand my position. I have to understand my role. I have to understand that I am the helpmeet, not you the helpmeet, but I am the helpmeet. And understanding even what that means, not just having the definition of it, but being able to apply it in the given situations when God allows the opportunity, when God allows me to be tested, applying exactly what the Bible means when it says that I'm the helpmeet. I'm the one to be adaptable and conformable and adjustable, not just knowing, again, the terminology, but being able to apply it in a given situation. And I'll just make it practical, because we like to be practical. And just say, if, you know, this afternoon I come home, I'm here at the office and I'm working. So when I get home, got to stop by the store, pick up a couple of things, go home, prepare dinner for you. Well, later on when I retire for the night, and I remember struggling with this at the very beginning of our marriage, when there would be times you would wake me up through the middle of the night sometimes when I just got in the bed and you wanted, something to eat. And I can remember really struggling in my flesh because I was tired, not applying the scripture. And I understand that we have to have balance and, but I'm just making it practical and making it real, because I know I'm not the only one. I've counseled ladies and talked to them, wives, and they have struggled in this particular area. So we have to understand as wives that we also have to sacrifice. We have to live out the word of God and be biblical and not just look into our husbands to die and I don't die.
That's good, and one thing that God has graced me with is the ability to prepare people. And there was many times in the beginning of my marriage I was testing you to become. See, it's one thing to be superficial. It's another thing for it to become a reality. But how many people know how to help people experience God in a real way? You cannot do that if you have never been in that position, or have never happened to you, if it's never happened to you. And so there was many times, and especially in the beginning of our relationship, it was a testing in different areas, because you become by doing.
Yes.
And I need to understand that. And the more you do a thing, the more you become the thing. And so but that really should have happened before we said I do. That is probably the gravest mistakes that has ever happened in Christian marriages, is men and women marrying each other and they never has been trained by a senior or seasoned man with the male gender and the seasoned one with the female gender. We come in with selfish mentalities. We come in with a distorted mentality. And what happens is we have a preconceived idea of how it's supposed to work, because you've never been in relation with someone, submitted to someone that know how it works and living it before you. And so so many people have a Hollywood mentality concerning marriage. The majority of Christians I know, it's Hollywood. And so when they're not getting what they want and experience what they want experience, they're frustrated, aggravated, because in their mind they believe what they believe. And they can even show you some scripture. You, when you even read the Bible, you only can comprehend according to where you locate it. So you're going to perceive things from a selfish perspective if I'm carnal. I'm not going to see it from God's perspective, because I'm not reading it from a spirit of humility, because I want to know the mind of God. The majority of people, they read it to get ammunition to back their point up, why a person should be treating them this way and treating them that way. So, so the word becomes a weapon and not used as a tool for intimacy and obedience towards the Most High God.
Amen. You're so right. I'm thinking about when you were speaking, I was thinking about we have three girls, and so it's really important for me to make sure that I'm living an example before them, being practical and being real in our relationship, as you know, in my relationship with you. So before them, I am an example. Before them, there are times when, you know, I'm usually with the girls more than you are, you know, taking them to school and errands that we have to do from time to time. And so there are times when we have one-on-one, you know, mother-daughter conversations, and in the conversating, sometimes, you know, they may ask me questions, and I have to be real with them, which I am, and, you know, and helping them to see the mind of God, and helping them to understand my role as a wife, and therefore when God brings them their future kingdom man of God, then they will understand what they're supposed to do, because they've not only heard it, but they've seen me live it out before them. They've seen you and I conversate. They've seen me. There have been times when they've seen me be disrespectful to you in front of them, and the Spirit of God has convicted my heart, and I openly apologize to them, and that's showing them and demonstrating to them forgiveness and humility, that, you know, I'm not so prideful that I can't apologize to them in front of you, because I did it in front of you, in front of them, and so therefore they need to see me do the Word of God by asking you to forgive me, and then asking them to forgive me for not displaying being a woman of God that respects her husband.
That's excellent, and you do model that very well, and demonstrate it very well before the girls and myself. You've done that many, many times, and I appreciate and admire the grace of God on your life to be able to do that. As you was communicating, switching up a little bit to parenting, as you was sharing that, wisdom would be when we need to be real with our children and let them know the areas that we have struggled in life. And I'm not talking about getting drafted or anything. I'm talking about, you know, I had a problem with submission. I have a problem with this, and this is one of the reasons why I have struggled with being submitted, or this is why I have struggled with anger, or struggled with whatever. So we want to do that from the perspective of that sharing them, and I want you to be better than me. One of the things that I'm getting ready to do that was never done to me, period, and the majority of people on this line, I guarantee you, those listening by chat and those that's listening by the broadcast here, that's on the broadcast with us, we don't prepare our children. We just tell them stuff, but we don't put them in situation for them to grow and to learn. And I was just sharing with Cassie the other day that I'm getting ready to start having ecstasy and the money to start paying the bills, getting them involved. Nobody taught me how to pay a bill. I learned on my own how to pay a bill, and I wouldn't even say I learned on my own. It was the grace of God that taught me how to pay bills, how to communicate with people, which is the best teacher, but God want to teach us through our children, through the parent. Yes. So they need to learn how to do that. There's a lot of things I have my daughters doing that young men would do, take out the garbage, do certain things. And the reason I do that is not because I'm lazy. I do that because I don't know when God is going to grace them with their spouse. But if they move out, I don't want them to have a man come over there and do stuff for them they don't know how to do. So preparing them for life. So you don't live in dependency upon a man. You live in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you do get your husband, you're not living independent upon your husband. You're living in interdependence upon your husband, that you all come together as a team. You're there to serve that man. You're there to love that man. And so, therefore, you're living in interdependence. You have to help mate to that man, and you know how to do some things. One of the most frustrating things with a marriage is marrying somebody who don't know how to do nothing. And all of the weight is on one spouse. And then they're frustrated, they're aggravated, because, and the sad thing about it, listen, I've been pastor for a long time. The majority of the people in Panorama Christian Center struggle with managing money. The majority, women and men, but especially women. The majority, every woman in Panorama struggle with paying money. The majority, every woman got their credit cards maxed out. That goes to show you something. There's no discipline there. There's no discipline there. That goes to show you that they're dominated by this world. They're dominated by the Joneses. So that goes to show. So we can afford to buy our girls the high end of everything. I don't do that. Period. Can afford to do it, because if you do it, they will expect it from their husband, and they have not learned how to live within their means. They have not learned how to live where they're located. I'm going to tell you what I mean by located. The majority of parents reward their children for bad behavior. Because it's their birthday, you want to get them a gift. Children ain't stupid, ain't dumb. They know how to straight. They know when their birthday is. And so they're gonna be good for the next 2 weeks before their birthday get there, because they want this particular gift, and you end up rewarding them. They've been out of character all year long, but until 2 weeks come and you reward them. So we set our children up for a fall because we're celebrating bad behavior. And so they're going to expect their husbands to celebrate them for their bad behavior. They're going to expect their boss on the job to celebrate them for their bad behavior. So we as parents have to have insights and foresight and put our children in scenarios. Let them fail, but educate them in the failure. Ask them why you think this right here, what you think you could have done better. So all of this is very important, because you got grown people that is adults don't know how to pay a bill. And the majority is strapped and in bondage, in debt, because they never learned how to manage money. And I personally believe this right here. And when you struggle with managing money, see, we can get all deep. You're just going to struggle with your relationship with God. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible reveals spirituality based on how you handle money. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, if you're unfaithful and unrighteous mammon, who will give you true riches? So therefore, he's showing us there how you manage money. You know why? Because money, the love of money is the root of all evil. So if I love money, I'm not going to love God, and I'm not going to love my spouse. My spouse is going to be a user. When I say she's going to be a user, I'm going to use her. I'm only in this relationship for her to give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really love her, I lust her. And the majority of people, I won't say the majority, but many people lust their spouses because they lust God. Lust means give me what I want. I don't care what you got to do. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're dying. As long as I get it, I'm satisfied. But I don't care how you had it, give it to me. That's lust. Love is I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice me to make it happen for you. That's love.
Yes. Amen. When you was mentioning earlier about teaching them for life, I think that's excellent. You're much, much better at when it comes to handling the finances and managing and being a good steward over that which God has blessed us with. That's one of the graces that's upon your life, and that has helped me and taught me some things concerning finances, because when we, at the beginning of our marriage, you know, I came into this marriage with a couple of debts. A couple of outstanding bills, because I did not have anybody to teach me concerning finances. My parents did the best they could, but they didn't sit down. Going back to what you said earlier, my parents did not sit down with me to teach me concerning finances. And maybe if I had got that teaching, I would not have made so many bad mistakes when it came to credit card like I did in the past. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. And so I, you know, thank God that God has graced you with that, and that, you know, and I was thinking about this is it's discipleship. This is exactly what you're getting ready to do with our girls, exercising money and teaching them for life. And I just really thank God for the grace of God that's upon your life for that. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about, you know, how I had to change my mindset also when it came to discipling the girls. When I was younger, this is just a practical example. When I was younger, my mom used to do basically all the cooking. My older sister would be there, and she would call back home from time to time from her job and say, you know, have your sister to put this on and put that on. She never said anything about me. And I remember one time my father said, you know, Kathy needs to learn how to cook too. And you need to, you know, start helping her to cook. You know, she needs to learn how to cook chicken and cook rice and this and that. But she would always have it with my older sister. And I remember one time you asked me, you know, when do you have the girls in the kitchen with you? And I had the mindset they don't need to be in the kitchen with me, because I'm thinking about, and that mindset came from when I was a little girl. And the Spirit of God had to show me that. I didn't realize I had that mindset until you asked me the question. Then I realized the Spirit of God showed me I had that mindset. So I had to renew my mind. The girls need to learn how to cook. They need to be in the kitchen with me. And I need to take them alongside of me and show them how to cook. Show them how to, you know, cook rice, and then let them do it. Disciple them in it. Show them how to iron the clothes. Show them how to wash your clothes, because if you don't, when they get older, they're not going to know how to do any of these things because they was not properly trained at home.
Yeah, but they want to get married, though. They want to get married and destroy some young man's life. But people don't see it that way. My girls are going to be married. My sons are going to get married, but nobody's preparing them for marriage. There's more to it. I love you. Saying I love you and loving someone is two different things here. But here's another principle. You was talking about what you learned about your parents, how your mother would have your sister and the thing. But this is where the faults of parents come in at, because when I look back on your parents, your father was an excellent manager of money.
Yes.
When your father, before your father passed, here is a business mind. Here is foresight. Your father had purchased his burial plot and your mother's burial plot way before they ever died.
Yes.
All that was in place before he even passed, put that in place. He didn't know he was going to leave here before your mother. He didn't know your mother was going he didn't know that he was going to leave before your mother. But he didn't want to leave no burden. He didn't want to leave no stones unturned. Everything's in place. He had CDs in all you all's name, which y'all didn't know about until your mother died. So think about it. If your father had taught all you and your siblings that,
yes,
you would have been a greater helpmate to me, because your father had some excellent skills when it came down to managing money and having foresight. But what parents have a tendency to do, well, I'm just going to do it. I just take care of this. But they ain't thinking. They're not thinking.
Yeah.
That I need to impart some of these skills, this knowledge I have to my children, so they can be better than me.
Absolutely.
But usually parents don't do that.
Yes. And thank God that God has given you that mindset to help our girls. So when they leave the house, train up a child in the way they should go. So when they leave, they have been properly trained that they can be an excellent wife to the man of God that we're birthing in also. That's another component of it. Praying for their spouses, praying for their children, and praying for our grandchildren. Praying for them, already releasing and speaking the word of God and getting them set up spiritually, because we're releasing the word of God. So that's another component of preparing our children. We're praying for them. We're interceding for them now every day. And I remember when I was pregnant with Ebony, how when you and I would come together in prayer, and how sometimes you would lay your hands on my stomach and you would just pray for her and intercede for her and do the same thing. You did the same thing for each one of our girls. And when they came out of the womb, we started sowing a seed for them, you know, before they even knew how to talk or could hold a pen or could write their own name, could spell their own name. We were already sowing a seed for them, because this is something that God put in your spirit for us to begin to do for them.
Let me go back to something concerning the children and sometimes the oldest child. Now, what I'm getting ready to do with Ebony, I'm going to say exiting the money, I didn't do with Ebony. See, sometimes the oldest child many times become the guinea pig, trial and error. And so the enemy will use that and try to destroy the oldest child mentality, because I wasn't trained. I knew how to do some things, but I didn't have the mindset of training Ebony at the time. So I shared things with her, not training her, shared things with her about credit cards, whatever the case may be, but I didn't bring her alongside of me. I didn't bring her alongside of me and sat her down and show her how I paid bills. I never done any of that. And so she's kind of liking in that at this present time, because that was one of the errors as a parent, a newborn parent, a new parent. I didn't have nobody to mentor me in this. I just learned a lot of things on my own, because I learned on my own. I just did it on my own, even when we got married and had children. And so parents grows as the children grow. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and share that with our children. Every now, you know, I want to apologize to you, because there's some things I should have done I didn't do. I just didn't know how to do it. Our children will respect us by being real. But first, I got to be real with myself and learn and capitalize from the errors of my ways. And that's why look at Ebony, I'm saying Exiting Money, have a greater opportunity than Ebony did, because I have grown as a parent more now than I did then, because I was learning as well. So that must become a reality to us.
Amen. And I want to add something to that as well. When you were speaking about that, I was thinking about Ebony when it comes to cooking. She knows how to do, you know, cooking now. But when I can remember when she was home before she went away to school, and I would try to bring her in the kitchen to help her, show her how to cook. And at that time, you know, she didn't have a desire for it. She didn't want to do it. But then when she came back home, she wanted to do it. And I remember one time you shared with me, you said, you know, that's still your fault because, and I'm bringing balance to it, because just because she doesn't want to doesn't mean that you stop doing it. And I think sometimes as parents, we, instead of us going forth with the assignment that God has given us and training our children, sometimes we allow their disposition or their attitude to move us. And so we stop obeying God and doing what God has called us to do based upon what the child does. And so, but now we have the girls and I, we have an excellent time, like for holidays, Thanksgiving. We do a menu. The girls, sometimes I assign them to do the menu. This year, Ecstasy did the menu. Last year, I think Imani did the menu. And so we do our menu, and I give assignments. You know, Ecstasy going to cook this, and Ebony going to cook this, and Imani's going to cook this, and who's going to cook the dessert. And so I love it. And this is a day that I used to look back on, you know, when I was, when the girls was little. Be glad when the girls get older so we'd be able to, you know, be in the kitchen and cook, and so we can all say, okay, Daddy, it's time to eat, and put everything on the table prepared, you know, so we can come and eat as a family. So I look forward to that now because of the growth that God has done. Going back to what you said, the parent has grown. I've grown as a parent, as a wife, and as a mother. And so now my mindset is totally shifted concerning the girls and teaching them and training them, because I see the responsibility and they're about to leave. And so I want to make sure, we both want to make sure that they, when they leave, they have been properly trained.
Yes, and I think you do an excellent job, and I look forward to those holiday season, like Thanksgiving just finished celebrating Thanksgiving. Excuse me, and that was a wonderful time. I really enjoyed that. All the girls and all y'all in the kitchen and come together and as a family and eat dinner and just had a great, glorious time. But that is the reward of the hard work, and I want to congratulate you. To me, you've been a great parent. You have done your best. There's some things that you are not gifted in that I am, so you can't give them what you don't have. But you don't communicate to our children like you Miss Know It All, and I admire that about you, how you carry yourself. And sometimes parents, we try to portray ourselves to our children that we the jack of all trades. Be real with your children, because as they grow, they're going to see you not anyway. And so let's just be real with them and say, "This, I'm liking in this area." I share with my daughters all the time that all of them, all of them are smarter than me. I tell them that. I say, you are smart. You are smarter than me. But I share with them, but look what God has graced your father to be able to accomplish. And I wasn't as smart as you all. I said, because I had to depend on the Holy Spirit when I got saved.
Yeah.
Depended on him. I trusted him. And so he became my wisdom. He became my knowledge. He became my understanding, because I didn't like school. I went to school. I liked sports. And I just did enough to get by, because I didn't have nobody to help me to focus on my future and to help me to see things from a different perspective. All of us need that, ladies and gentlemen. Even when I went to took ecstasy to register for school, sat down with a counselor. She wanted to get into marketing, but I understand trends and understand the market. I understand how things work. So, and I know that marketing, you ain't gonna make a lot of money when the economy the way it is. Period. So you need to look at something that there's a demand. I sat down with her and shared these principles. What is the demand? What do the world need? What is demand right now? Everything operates in the world by supply and demand. Supply and demand. Yeah. And so we sat down with the counselor, and the counselor, and I was sharing these principles, and he started smiling and said, "Your father really understands." And so he started sharing with her what they had available. And for her to be able, she really, really know why? Because all these years she had unlocked in her mind, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And so I didn't want to try to kill her dream, but I know she would never, ever, unless she have her own marketing company. And then when the market, when the economy shifts like this, nobody's going to pay no company for marketing unless that company is a giant like a McDonald's that's already in place, like a Red Lobster that's already in place, or like any department store or the casement that's been around for years. That's only people,
yes,
but not anything else. So people, children don't think that way. So we have to help,
yes,
our children to think. We have to help prepare them to think in the right way, in the right perspective. And so,
yes,
that's come from the wisdom of God. God, that ain't come from E.J. McKenzie, but that come from the wisdom of God. God downloading and manifests his wisdom in me so that I can be able to articulate wisdom to my children. And he will do that with every parent. If a parent will humble themselves and say, Father, speak through my children through me. Because I don't know how to do this thing. I talk to God like that. And he will begin to inspire you and give you what you need to be able to be a blessing to your family.
Amen, amen. And I thank God for you because you do an excellent job with that. And you're right, you know, what I don't know, I make sure I try to share with the girls. Go to your daddy. You know, your father can help you with that. And that's another thing, you know, another component of our relationship is that we really try to help our girls to have the heart and the mind of God, and you do an excellent job with that, helping them to see God, helping them to see Christ, and helping them to tap into Christ that lives on the inside of them, you know, praying to him and then waiting for him to speak to them. And so the girls see that, and that's helping them to have their own relationship with the Lord, even with Ebony not living at home, but we still have a good, excellent relationship as far as imparting truth to her, imparting the word of God to her, and helping her to see as she, you know, relating to us, unless the Lord show you something, and then you give her a phone call because the Lord put something on your heart, and so now you got to, you know, talk to her about it. But we always try to help them to have their own, you know, relationship with God. And if they're off, then, you know, I thank God for the grace of God that's upon your life that you help them to see that's not God. This is God. Let's look at that biblically. Let's look at the word of God, and let's find what the word of God says concerning that. And now I see the girls doing that on their own. Before they go to you, sometimes they come to me and they talk to me and they share things with me, and then I'll say, you know what, that's not, you know, this is what God, this is what the word of God says, and if it's off, I help them to see that, and then now let's go and see what, you know, share this with daddy, and then if it's God, then this is what daddy, you know, the Lord's going to put in daddy's heart concerning the situation.
That's good. It's another thing that we have to focus on, too, is helping our children transition. Like when Ebony moved out, she didn't want to move out. But I knew that's going to help her mature. We got to,
yeah,
be able to put our children in a position to grow. I don't care how painful it may be to them or how painful it may be to you, but you got to think more what's best for the child,
yeah,
not best for you. So the average parent says, well, no, that's my baby. I'm going to let my baby stay here. But that's, your baby will never discover who he or she is if you don't put them in those kind of situations.
Yes.
I heard time is about up, so I'm going to let you go ahead and close us out.
All right. I enjoyed this broadcast today, and I pray that the Lord spoke a fresh word, a powerful word to you. Remember our watch night service December the 31st, which is at 10 p.m., and remember our prayer that will begin on next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5:30 a.m. Tell somebody about the broadcast. Next time you will hear us, which will be on Saturday, 12 noon, Releasing the Supernatural. And this has been your host, Kathy L. McKenzie, along with my husband, Dr. E.J. McKenzie. God bless you, and we pray that you were blessed.